turning tonight to the book of Jeremiah, right at the beginning, which deals with the call of Jeremiah. And basically, God tells him, I have called you. This is your job. Prepare for opposition, but I will be with you. And that's what we find in Jeremiah chapter 1. And even as one looks at that, one thinks, isn't that like Jesus called his disciples? I have called you. This is your job. Expect opposition, but I will be with you. A kind of summing up of the call. That's really what makes this thing so much connect with the passage this morning. When we look at Jesus' call of the disciples, well, basically that was his message to them. And so much of his ministry comes together under, I've called you. This is your job. You'll face opposition, but I'm with you. And Paul's perspective was certainly that, called of God, and not called by men, not appointed by men, but by God. And he was very conscious this was his job. And he was conscious that though he would be troubled and there would be difficulties and struggles, God would be with him. And you and I are encouraged by the same thought. God has called us. Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the earth. Called to be sons of God, daughters of God. God has a job for us to do here. And he lets us know. And he says, you're going to face opposition, but be of good cheer. I'm with you. So many things, all these things together, and my hope is that as we study this passage, your mind will pick up things and remind you things. That's the wonderful thing about the study of the scriptures. It connects with everything else. Sometimes you feel a little guilty that you let your mind wander, but the thing is, it takes you to someplace. It teaches you. The richness is so amazing that every passage brims with amazing truth that pulls from other places, like a vine that stretches to the whole of Scripture, and one part connects with something else. And sometimes our mind straying is not really harm. Sometimes we're getting a better sermon than the preacher was giving. And I don't encourage you to let your mind stray. But there's a sense in which, yes, I would have you think about the other things in the Bible that say this to us and why it's appropriate to connect Jeremiah 1 with what we've looked at this morning as we talked about the call of the apostles. Jeremiah chapter 1, we're reading verses 4 to 19. I mean, sorry, 14 to 19. Jeremiah chapter 1. Verses 14 to 19. Well, I think I want 4 to 19. Yes, I want 4 to 19. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree, I replied. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly. For I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. The word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? I see a boiling pot tilting away from the north. I answered. The Lord said to me, from the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I am about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms, declares the Lord. Their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah. Now, I've gone beyond 14. Let's go back and begin with the last verse in 14. The Lord said to me, from the north, disaster would be poured out on all who live in the land. I'm going to 19. I'm sorry. Let's go and continue to 19. I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods and in worshiping what their hands have made. Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Let's pray. Great God, we thank you for this passage from your word. And we pray you'll grant us your Holy Spirit that we might understand it. Take the things of Christ and reveal them to us. Minister to our hearts. Teach us, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit. You have promised to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. We ask for him and pray that your blessing will be upon us this night. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah ministered for 40 years. Told at the beginning that his message would not be received. And in fact, though he ministered with tears and wept and pled with the people to turn to God, they would not turn from their sins. The time for judgment had come, and God raised up a faithful witness who continued to testify until the day when he sent Babylon to utterly destroy the nation, to destroy the temple, to leave the Jerusalem a heap of rubble, and to gather the people, disperse many of them throughout the whole known world, but to gather many into Babylon and to keep them in bondage for 70 years until he dealt with the idolatry of their hearts. But that last prophet to warn and to call the people was Jeremiah. God told him they're not going to listen to what you say, but he challenges them. I have called you, and your job, he gives you the job. Prepare for opposition, but I will be with you. We want to look at how first he says, I have called you. Turn to verse 4. And God says, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Remember that Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Paul was conscious he wasn't an apostle by the will of man, and not by the choice of the other apostles. God had called him to that ministry. Well, God declares to Jeremiah, I have called you. It is my sovereign choice. Hasn't God called us to a ministry? We are created in Christ Jesus. God ordained us to his salvation from before the foundation of the world. God called us, and even as he called Jeremiah, we can say, God, this God, the God of heaven and earth, before we were formed in the womb, were known by God. God called us. Well, God declares to him here his sovereign choice. Notice Jeremiah's argument with regard to verse 6. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child. Jeremiah very much felt his inability. But Paul felt his inability. And Jesus told the disciples, without me, you can do nothing. You see a pattern here of his feeling, I can't do it, which is exactly what Jesus teaches his disciples, you can't do it, and what Paul was conscious of as well. Who is sufficient for these things? That sense of being called of God and not being able to do it was the experience of Jeremiah. And it's one of those things. We think of that experience in the lives of others in the scriptures. Jeremiah's argument is, I'm not able. And God answers in verses 7 and 8. He says, you must not, do not, but the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. In his call to Jeremiah, first of all, he affirms, I have called you. We've got his sovereign choice. We've got Jeremiah's argument against it, but God's answer that he will send him. Then he goes on to speak about the job that Jeremiah is to have, and we see that it is a pulling down and a building up. A pulling down and a building up. Then the Lord reached out his hand, touched my mouth, and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. I appoint you to go over the nations and kingdoms, to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. The responsibility of Jeremiah was to build and to tear down, to uproot, to tear down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build and to plant. Didn't Jesus come to tear down, to uproot? Not to change the law, but to uproot the whole system that had built itself against the commands of God. They taught their own precepts, which were contrary to the word of God, and Jesus came to tear down. Jeremiah is called to tear down the whole system of idolatry that has captivated the people's mind. Jeremiah is sent to tear it down. And Jesus came and sent his disciples, Jesus came himself to tear down the establishment religion in order to establish the truth. And Paul speaks about tearing down. The word of God being powerful to the destroying of, the pulling down of strongholds and the destroying of everything that raises itself against God. That whole idea of tearing down and building up is a theme that comes again and again. And the disciples are to stand fast. There are things. The things you bind will be bound in heaven. The things you loose will be loosed in heaven. There's a tearing down and there's a building up. The pattern that is given to the apostles, it was given to Jeremiah. His responsibility was to tear down and to build. Look at verses 9 and 10. Again, verses 9 and 10. Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appointed you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Jesus came to tear down the whole system, false religion, to build and to plant us, graft us into himself as the vine and the branches, and to build up a holy temple in order to, for him to himself to dwell. The concept comes again and again as your mind races over the ideas. This is what God calls Jeremiah to do. Another thing he calls Jeremiah to do, which he's challenged to do, is to see what I show you. See what I show you. When I reveal something to you, see it. Notice how he does that with verses 11 through 15. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree, I replied. The Lord said to me, you've seen correctly, for I am watching to see my word fulfilled. Now, I think if you go to the commentators and look at one or another of how they want to enlarge upon that, what the nation and the real meaning of the vision is, you'd get a lot of different opinions because God is not that clear. Jeremiah somehow understands what he's saying, but to say, what did it mean that there was an almond tree, and what's the significance of it? It's the very area in which the commentators show their own originality, but God doesn't enlarge upon that. He simply is emphasizing, see what I show you. See what I show you. And he says, you've seen correctly. And then he gives him another thing. I see a boiling, what do you see? I see a boiling pot. Turn away from the north, I answered. The Lord said to me, from the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I'm about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms, declares the Lord. Their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods, and to worshiping what their hands have made. Of course, we see in the words of God to Jeremiah, we see the fulfillment. We read the history of the nations coming, Babylon coming, and little by little conquering it all, and by little taking away the inhabitants, and warning after warning after warning of what's going on, and then finally that's it, finishes the job. We see that he alludes to those things here. We can understand something of it. What Jeremiah knows is that God is going to send his judgment upon the people, and he's going to come against all her surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah, pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods, and in worshiping what their hands have made. God declares, this is my judgment. I will send it upon you, and it will be because of your false religion. It's because of your worshiping of false gods. And so he affirms to them. He declares the judgment that he will send upon the land. He declares, he calls upon Jeremiah to declare the judgment. Are we called in some way to warn people to flee the wrath to come? Can we say specifically, this is what God will do, this is where the nations will come from, this is the way in which the judgment will be poured out? Well, if we try to do that, we'll prove ourselves wrong. Many in the past have tried to demonstrate how the Bible says this nation will do this or that nation will do that. And Jeremiah is not being told which nation will do what and how it will happen. He's not being given tomorrow's headlines today. He's being warned of a danger that God will bring and that they will recognize when it comes. And he says, you are to preach that. You are to preach. Your job is to tear down and to build. Your job is to see what I show you. And your job is to declare judgment on the ungodly. Well, God's called them to that. Yeah, there are parallels to the way that Jesus called us to call men to repentance, rescue them from their judgment, cause them to turn from their false gods to serve the living God. Wasn't that the wonderful thing that Paul was so thrilled by about the Thessalonian church? When they heard the gospel, they turned from idols to serve the living God. Paul came to call people to turn from idols and serve the living God. So many parallels to what God is calling Jeremiah. And he calls him to speak and to be faithful in speaking. We've looked at the fact that God called him by his sovereign choice. Jeremiah's argument against it, but God's answer that he's going to be with him. He's given Jeremiah his job. Tear down and build. See what I show you. Declare judgment upon the land. Well, the third division that we're looking at here is Jeremiah is told, prepare for opposition. People will try to frighten you. Look at verse 17. Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Doesn't that have a ring similar to don't fear those who can kill your body, but fear he who can kill both body and soul? Doesn't have a ring of the same kind of challenge. Do not be afraid of them, or I will terrify you before them. Whatever that element means, and however much it troubles us with regard to Jesus speaking that to his disciples, that's what God spoke to Jeremiah. And the pattern is echoed. He says, prepare for opposition. prepare for opposition, people opposition, being afraid of people, but also he has us preparing for political opposition. Look at verse 18. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. Well, there's a blending between the political opposition and the religious opposition, but he's telling them, you're standing against the government, you're standing against the religious people, the powers there, you're called upon to stand and declare judgment with regard to those things. People will try to frighten you, political opposition, religious opposition. He's saying, this is what you will face. Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, the priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Paul knew that the opposition, he could declare, let God be true and every man a liar. Paul stood against the opposition of the world. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of the world, the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him, neither can he know them. But we know the things that are given us by the Spirit of God. So you've got Paul conscious of standing against opposition. Paul conscious of tearing down and building up. Paul conscious of holding fast against political powers and against the religious powers. But they're the very kind of thing that Jesus had challenged his disciples. Jesus sent them to speak the word. Jesus sent them to call men to repentance, to turn them, to bring them from their idolatries to a belief in the true God. You see the pattern repeated. You see it declared in Jeremiah, repeated in the apostles, repeated in Jesus' words to his disciples. Jesus called upon people to called upon Jeremiah. Jesus called upon his disciples, echoing Jeremiah's call. People will try to frighten you. Political opposition will rise against you. Religious opposition will rise against you. But I will protect you. And there's the last part that's here, verse 19. It says, they will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you and will rescue you. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Paul encouraged us as well to be of good cheer. God has overcome. God, Christ will be the victor. Christ, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord for the glory of God. He says, for I am with you and will rescue you. That wonderful encouragement God has for Jeremiah is the encouragement that Jesus has for his disciples, and it's encouragement that Paul declares in the reality of God. God saving us by sovereign grace, God empowering us and giving us a job to do, and God promises that the opposition, though it come, will not overcome us, and that he will be with us even to the end of the age. Those things all weave together to bring to our minds a repeating pattern, a kind of collage, which we find as we look at God's challenge to Jeremiah. We see so many other passages coming in. Well, I hope they come in. Let me read the passage that we're looking at again. It's verse 4 to 19. Let me read it again and see if these things congeal in a way to impress us with what God has to say tonight. The call of Jeremiah, beginning with verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child. But The Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to, and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See today, I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of the Lord came to me, what do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree, I replied. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. The word of the Lord came to me again, what do you see? I see a boiling pot tilting away from the north, I answered. The Lord said to me, from the north, disaster will be poured upon all who live in the land. I am about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdom, declares the Lord. Their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding walls, against all the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to their gods, and in worshiping what their hands have made. Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them, whatever I command you, do not be terrified by them, for I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, and from an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, the officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, will not overcome you, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Wonderful to see the word to Jeremiah, the word of Jesus to his disciples, the word of Paul to to you and me. Because Paul's word comes to you and to me, and God speaks to us these very words. We could ask ourselves, what does God say to me with regard to this? Well, one thing he says is, I have called you. And what an encouragement it is that we did not save ourselves. We're not saved because of something we have done. Even the faith that brought us Christ came from God. There's wonderful encouragement to realize God has called you. When you realize that from the foundation of the earth, God had our name written on his heart, wonderful encouragement, it reminds us God has called us. We stand in a world that it seems will ever, until destruction, go on rebelling against God. Now we always hope that somehow God in his wonderful mercy will send repentance, that send a revival that will rescue our land. But everything we see, there's a determined effort to reject the things of God. We see it everywhere. What are we called to do? We're called to declare the truth. We're called to stand for the truth. We're called to realize God has chosen us. He's appointed the exact place in which we're to live. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And it's God who has appointed the exact time and place that we're to live. And so even as God spoke to Jeremiah, I have called you, we can hear the word to ourselves. God has called us by his sovereign choice. We may feel weak and unable. Jeremiah felt weak and unable. And Paul could say, who is sufficient for these things? And Jesus said, I can do nothing on my own initiative. Everything I do in obedience to the Father. All of it resolves in Jesus, who came weak in himself, humble in himself, depending entirely upon God. In myself, I can do nothing. I do everything that I do. Power of the Father. And so we remember, God has called us. We feel our weakness, but God is our strength. And God says, I have called you. Also, we can say, what has God called us to do? Well, he's called us to tear down anything that exalts itself against God. He calls us to bring arguments from the scriptures to destroy the arguments of God, and to tear down there everything that exalts itself against God, and to build and plant the truth that God has been pleased to give us, to build up the kingdom that he is establishing. We're called. Jeremiah was called to build and to plant, or to tear down, uproot and then to plant, to tear down and then to build. We're called with the responsibility of tearing down and rebuilding. We're called to uproot and to plant. As we look at this, we look at Jesus and what he came to do, and we look at what we're called to do in our own age. We're called to tear down and to build. We're called to see what God has shown us, to open our eyes and perceive what God is pleased to show us, to learn of him. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, Jesus. Our job is to learn of him, to see what he's telling us and to seek to receive it, to see what a part of our following God is seeing what he's saying. So he calls us to see what he's shown us, and he calls us to carry judgment, to say that wrong things are wrong. Make it known. Declare it. Sometimes the manner of the preacher is wrong, too harsh, bossy. Maybe he's scolding us. We could find reason to speak against the manner in which we're spoken to, but blessed is the person who hears the word of God as it rebukes our sin, as it challenges us. We're called challenge sin, to stand for the truth, to declare what God has shown us, and to declare the judgment of God upon the wicked. And if only, I thought that it only existed in cartoons of New York City, where there's somebody saying, "Flee the wrath to come," and holding a sign. But I actually have seen such things where people are caught with the dreadful judgment of God coming upon this city, and they do this stupid thing. They dress funny, it seems, and they get a sign to tell people, "Flee the wrath to come." There are such people that exist probably in New York today. There are those that are so overwhelmed by the judgment of God and the wickedness of the city that all they can do is declare to the city, "Flee the wrath to come." There are people, well, we look at them as oddballs and weirdos, and the weirdos and freaks on the lunatic fringe. But some of the weirdos and freaks on the lunatic fringe have a message from God, and the message from God can be repent and turn from your sin. Well, God's called us not to be one of the weirdos and freaks on the lunatic fringe, but to declare the judgment of God and make it clear. So God called Jeremiah to do that. Jesus came to do that. Jesus came to declare the need to turn from your sin and believe on him. Paul was conscious of that. Peter was conscious of that. That's the message that we have. It's tear down and build, to see what God showed us, to declare judgment. And we are called to prepare for opposition. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. God has assured us that this case, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And may God enable us to be of good cheer. Jesus said to his disciples that he sent to all the world to preach the gospel, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So may God encourage us to look at what Jeremiah, well, we could go on to speak of the specific ways in which we will face opposition. People who try to frighten us, political opposition, of which we are trembling at times, religious opposition, which seems insurmountable. But God says, "I will protect you." And he said, "I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to help you." So may we in our 21st century, may we stand fast in the Lord. May we realize that God has called us, that he's given us a job to do. He's told us that we will face opposition, and he said that it will not overcome us. He will be with us. And may the Lord help us to live in that way. Peter, at the beginning of his book, talks about our being strangers and pilgrims in a hostile land. The whole book is a wonderful book that helps us to see, how do you stand in an ungodly world? How do you stand for Jesus? Well, the thing that Peter saw we needed to do was recognize that we are called of God, recognize the job that God's given us, and realize that he will never leave us or forsake us. The same mind, attitude, and spirit appears again and again throughout the scriptures. So it seemed appropriate to begin with that and then get to Jeremiah and try to get to the other things. And maybe in the midst of it, bringing to mind other things that will enrich your thought on what has God called you to do. God has called you. God has given you a job. And God has said you're going to face opposition, but he will be with you. May God make us to believe that and to know it. It always reflects to us the way in which Jesus lived. He knew that he was living not to do his own will, but the will of the one who sent him. He was sent by God for that purpose, the sovereignty of God in it. He knew that his responsibility was to preach the gospel, to tear down and to build up. And he knew that God would be with him and would not forsake him until he forsook him. Because that's the great mystery that we're thinking about this week. Jesus called out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Even with his struggling in the garden, it does say that after his anguish, the angels came and ministered. God had not forsaken him. But there was that point upon the cross where even the confidence that God was with him was shaken. And he felt forsaken by God. But we realize the reason that Jesus was forsaken. He could say, why hast thou forsaken me? But we know why God forsook him. God forsook Jesus so he wouldn't have to forsake us. That's what we can answer the question. Jesus simply asked him, why hast thou forsaken me? And we can answer the question. God forsook Jesus so that he didn't have to forsake us. And so we thank Jesus, we thank the Lord that Jesus lived with this consciousness of being sent by God, lived with the remembrance of the task that he's given to do, lived with the reality that God would help him and not forsake him. And the only point of forsaking was because had he not forsaken Jesus, he would have had to forsake us. And so in all these things, we are thankful. We see Jeremiah. We are impressed by him. We think of Peter. We think of Paul. We think of Jesus. And we praise the Lord. Let's pray. We thank you, dear God, for the way in which the text we've looked at today pulls together the things we looked at this morning, but also many other things from the writing of Paul and Peter and John, as we've spoken about, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, as John challenges the dangers of the world. Lord, we realize there are many scriptures that come together to picture for us the man of God alarmed by the wickedness of the world and called of God to speak up. Lord, help us and give us grace. Help us to meditate upon the things we've looked at today, not just tonight, but the things this morning as well. Would you grant us grace to think about these things and that our own lives will be empowered by you. Thank you that you have called us, Lord, and you've put us into this time and place for a reason. You've given us a job to do, to testify to you and to your righteousness, to show what it is to be a Christian and to challenge men and women and boys and girls. And you've promised that though we face opposition, you will never leave us nor forsake us. We take these things that we've looked at tonight to our hearts today and thank you for the encouragement that you are by your Spirit. Help us, we pray, to live for you, for the glory of your name.